The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
A lot of folks, for instance, they'll run online poker or something, and they will say that, oh, we don't fall into the tax bracket for gambling because we're a skill-based game. but literally, Agon is about, you know, competition, and some ways you can consider sport. But then the reason why I was asking entirely is because the way how Carla writes it, or at least the way how Roger Carla has been translated, kind of makes it sound like he's actually drawing hard divisions between all of these categories, when really they're all more like adjectives.
What was the original language?
French, I believe. I believe that was the original version. Correct me if I'm wrong. If anyone can confirm that, that would be awesome. Write a forum post about it.
Jeremy, you're on it. Yeah, I'll try to confirm that. If it's actually French, I'll confirm it and then write them, not just post about translation errors.
Sure.
All the memes die.
Yeah, I'm sure it could have been translated in far more interesting language because it's kind of dull.
I'll play with the branches though, or not, if it actually is for me.
And then we have more readings on Wednesday. Yay! But it's an important text. But Illings will be. I use the word vertigo a lot because it sometimes gets sort of like substituted. But vertigo kind of. I think people sort of have a very specific understanding of vertigo. You know, as getting dizzy because of heights, and obviously not all games are about heights. But you know, people they use it to describe the sensation of taking a roller coaster, which literally is about heights, but it's also about speed. And you know, you can use the same thing. I once played a game called Descent on the PC back in the day. So imagine a first-person shooter. You're in, you know, the game is filling up your entire screen, but there's no up. There's no gravity. Whenever you want, you can turn yourself this way, and you'll just stay that way until you want to turn yourself again. Otherwise, the controls work just pretty much the same way as first-person shooter. That was Descent, and the whole pleasure of that game that you'd be doing this all the freaking time. I'm going down a straight corridor, I go down a straight corridor and turn and think,
Inception.
That's what I was thinking about playing the game. If you ever get a chance to play the game Prey, which is probably like $5 on pre-owned nowadays, you have that same sort of thing. I mean, Portal has a lot of that kind of like loss of control, you know, physical sensation. That they're trying to get at, but obviously, real physical experiences, you know, have an edge, right? You know, they're talking about three-legged races, or that horrible game where you spin around on a bat with your head. I hate the game. and Elix can be used to describe any one of those things. I like to use it as describing the sort of fun of loss of control, but that's not necessarily even the case. Just the sheer physicality of the game is part of the experience. In a way that digital chess doesn't really have any of that. You know, I mean, even real chess at least has the bam, I'm in my piece. So, actually, I'm just going to write up those words for those folks who didn't get a chance to read through that page. So it's Agon. It's kind of like give the competition skill. I talked about Elix, which is kind of jumping down to the last one that he suggests. Am I spelling this right?
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of like physicality. This pen sucks. Actually, Jason, can't you turn the light in the room? Sweetie, John. Loss of control. Other ones were.
Are you? But what was that again?
Chance.
Luck. Mock skill. You guys know the phrase Alia Yakta Est? It's,
the die has been cast.
Yes, the die has been cast right before Caesar crosses through the card and then, you know, says, and now we are going to attack someone. I couldn't remember who. but you know, Alia means nice, basically. Actually,
he marched on the room.
Say what?
He marched on the room.
Marched
on the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the although I heard two translations of the die has been cast as a phrase actually, because on one hand, you know, you can think of it as the die has been cast, so you know we'll see where fortune takes us, and you know it's not that we can be wrong. but I've also heard it described as the die, as in the thing that you put molten metal into has been cast. And so whatever we were making is now set, and it kind of has that same idea, but it is weird because one way that you can think of this is now out of control. And the other way that you can think of this is, and now this is set in stone, which is two fairly different connotations by both saying we don't really have any control of the situation.
Yes, that means thrown.
Throw, right? Yeah. But the English phrase.
Are there words in English that have alia as a root to mean randomly? In French, like the word for random is aléatoire. Comes straight from alia.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is undoubtedly why he chose that word. I just checked; he is French.
Oh yeah. No. I mean, obviously that's why.
Yeah.
Used it, but yeah, I can't think of any English words that use that as a root. Although there might be some. I know there's a game company. I think they actually make strategy games, which is kind of weird. And there's one more, which is
mimicry.
All right. Which is kind of odd because that's in English, but not in French. Mimicry is mimicry. It's actually in English. So you know, role playing, dress up, let's pretend. Simulation sometimes, you know, might actually fall into that. So you can imagine, you know, a tactical simulation, for instance, you know, being very much about competition and skill. But then if it's a tactical simulation about, you know, Prussian pikemen or something like that, then you know, and the actual famous war, and then yes, I need to get into mimicry territory. Sort of like, it's part of the pleasure of believing that you are something else, as opposed to I am this guy playing Go, you know, as opposed to I am this 17th century scholar playing Go, and you're making a game about that instead. So these are the adjectives that he talks about to describe games, but in the bit where we actually ask you to read, it's more about why, you know, these words give you a clue to think about why are people playing games. These are types of fun, much in a way that that gets touched on by the MBA paper that we had you read last week. You know, what are these aesthetics that people are going for? You know, are they going for the thrill of competition or the thrill of luck? Are they going for, you know, physical motion and how that feels, or are they going for the feeling of being someone else? And it's not, again, these are not mutually exclusive terms. These are things that you could have one game that has all of this. You could have one game that has two in some strong composition and the rest all minimized. That's fine. But understanding that this is what people are enjoying the game for, and more importantly, this is what people are enjoying playing with each other for. One nice thing about this is that for Argon and for Mimicry, it's really, really difficult to think about those two in particular without thinking about the players. you know, the competition kind of sucks if there's no one else you're competing against. Sure, you can play against a computer nowadays, but you know, traditionally you couldn't. At least you're playing against the designer, especially when making puzzles. You know, it's really, really annoying to pretend to be somebody else when there's no audience. You know, even if that other person is someone pretending along with you to play against you. Now, luck, you can completely play a game, you know, flipping a coin or something like that. But even when it comes to luck and it comes to, you know, experiences of physical motion, these things tend to be better when there's people around. And that's why these four particular divisions that Kalawa picked up are really, really good for thinking about social. That game where, is there a name for this game where you put the bat on the ground and then you go around?
That
irritating.
Wait, and like someone gets picked and then.
So it's like a relay race where you take a baseball bat, you put your hand on it, you go around it three times, and then you run back to your team, carrying the bat and try to hand the bat off to somebody else. Usually ending up hitting someone.
Dizzy bats.
Because you're not
born. I've heard it called dizzy bats.
Yeah. Dizzy bats.
Dizzy bats. Yeah. So. That game, you know, it's a lot more fun when there's somebody else around.
I do that by myself.
Just handing it off to yourself.
And even with web games of chance, I mean, sure, you could play games of chance by yourself, but the most part, most of my enjoyment playing games of chance are usually with a group of four people, and actually either playing poker or playing something like mahjong. So these are all very social experiences, and to think about when someone's going to come down and sit in front of your game, you know, and what sort of frame of mind you're going to be in to play your game. What sort of frame of mind you want to put them in order to enjoy your game. Think about why they might want to hang out with other people, because actually for assignment one, your game has to be multiplayer. So, you know, here's this other person that you're playing with that you may or may not know, but try to think about how you're going to construct enough clues to sort of get them to enjoy it. So the game is about pretending to be someone else. You know, I'm going to make a game where I am playing a negotiator in a hostage situation, for instance, and it's a card game. Awesome. And, you know, I'm going to be a negotiator and they're going to be the guy taking hostages. And then you want to play that up. And on Friday we had the game Crunch, where people were playing CEOs, I think. And the whole basic idea is that you are a corrupt.
That was awesome.
He's much corrupt.
Yeah. And you think about, you know, how does the game, even from the rules, even from the design of the box, you know, get you into the mood of thinking, okay, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to, whoever I am in real life, I'm going to take on this persona, and I'm going to enjoy this persona for a while.
Yeah, but they did a really good job of that, because they had this game kind of built in, where you can actually hide cards mm-hmm. on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys catch anyone doing that in the act?
I got caught.
Yeah.
I got hit, but yeah.
Safety. I feel like arguing about that's part of the rules.
Yeah.
Because he'd already got it. He had already hit him away, and then the cards saw it, like, way afterwards.
Yeah. And even arguing over whether something was illegal or not, even when there's evidence that it is, no one caught you doing it, it's kind of appropriate for the theme of, you know, being a CEO of a failing bank. Right, you know, it's like, well, so we have all of these CDOs, you know, that are working now. Yeah, we purchased them at some point, but nobody caught us while we were doing it, so now you know, users have to help us fix it. That's what it is about. Was there a game that was particularly competitive that people played on Friday?
That game was pretty competitive.
Which one? Yeah.
There was a competitive moment in Saboteur when Alec revealed himself to be a saboteur and ruined our attempts to find the gold.
Saboteur is what I would describe as cutthroat. It's a game that's deliberately about winning by other people losing. You know, it's like that's
it made me upset and Alec.
Yeah. Made me cry.
And John Nash actually, you know, a lot of them a lot more faculty.
I don't think he had MIT.
I keep thinking that he was involved in MIT or something. Anyway, because he did spend some time here at MIT, possibly when visiting, but he designed one game called Hex, which is ostensibly designed based on the washroom tiles of one of the Building 39, Building 37 bathrooms. But anyway, that game and another game called Screw You Buddy. It's funny that the only way that you're gonna win this game is by screwing over the other person. Screw You Buddy in particular is kind of just like boiled down diplomacy. You know, the only way that you're gonna win this game is to betray someone else.
Nice.
Let's see. Games of chance. What was kind of chancy on Friday? Anyone is just like
Ink and Gold?
That 17 card first foraying was not
like
there.
Every threat was on the board. Two people go in. 17 drops. Oh my god.
It's a press your luck game, right?
Yeah.
You know, is the do you dare? You know, do you feel lucky now? but it's, you know, I enjoyed the game a lot. I don't know if you guys
had a lot of fun.
I don't think that we had any games that were specifically, it's hard to get really physical in card games.
Maybe we played that game, Falling.
Yeah, that was a hit.
You're right. 2 weeks ago, some of the games that we played were really kind of kinetic. So even with card games, you already have fairly good examples of that. Now I want you to kind of keep in mind this one, because today we're actually going to start the process of like getting you folks to think about what you're going to do your first assignment and breaking you up in teams. Before we completely leave Carmel, Jason here, do you have anything to raise regarding? Anybody else?
I'm still confused about the whole Eskimo part.
Agreed.
I'll go through that one again.
Mistranslated.
Yeah.
They're actually not Eskimos.
Take a look at the French.
He actually went to the same high school my dad did and went to university somewhere a good friend of ours did. So I mean, we might know someone who knows him. I'll find out tonight.
Yeah, he's not that old.
Oh.
So, you know,
why just have him come over and chill out at MIT for a little bit?
Yeah.
Then we can talk to him about the Eskimos.
Yeah,
exactly.
We just have to. Does anyone here know necromancy? Because
okay,
we need to raise him.
Yeah, he is dead, but I might know
him. He's the necromancy.
That's okay. Whatever.
All right. So this is what we're gonna do. We're basically going to do brainstorming today. The basic idea is that we're gonna hand out the reference cards, and one job to sort of make it easier on the job of the secretary is that you'd actually be reading out stuff that you've written. So especially while other people are throwing out their ideas, you know, and you get something, and that person's still talking, you might as well just write down your idea. So we'll have a whole bunch of cards. I also like you to start off by writing your name right on top. And the reason for this is because I don't think every single person in this room knows each other's names yet. But as we do this process, it's more likely that you remember, oh yeah, that guy who came up with that idea. And then, and that person's name is so-and-so. Yeah. So let's hand out the first question.
Now, did you want to have all the ideas from each person on one card, or have one idea per card?
All on one.
What if the professors took notes and we could just bounce out ideas?
Well, that's what they regarded as for. But but the thing about writing your ideas down is so that people can then look at the card and say, yeah, that guy, I want to follow up with this guy. Because we're not actually going to form the team for you by the end of this class. The idea is so that after this brainstorming phase, you've got a pool of ideas of which you guys can make games. Actually, frankly, we don't care if two teams ended up making, you know, pretty much the same game out of the same concept. Because I know that two different teams with two different sets of people are going to end up making different games anyway, even if you start from the same. That's not a requirement. You folks can make you can take any set of ideas from the pool today. Obviously, if you're the one who pitched an idea and somebody else thinks, hey, that was actually pretty cool, you know, take that opportunity to talk to the person and, you know, you think maybe people can make a team.
Just do it.
That pretty much is going to happen between classes. So by Wednesday, I want you folks to come in. This is basically one of the pieces of homework, is to tell me which team you're on, who's on your team, and what's the general one-line, you know, idea that you're working with. Now, the idea that you're giving us is what you started with. It may not be what you end with. That's fine. We're very comfortable with that. Ideas change while you guys work with things. That's fine. The team shouldn't change. So you're working with, you know, these three other people, so for a team of four, then that should be, you know, be intact for the rest of this for this assignment.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Oh, perfect. So teams of four. Oh, great. Now, the one more clarification about the project. The card game, for all the cards need to be identically sized. We do like cards that are going to be legible, but you don't need to spend a whole lot of time making them pretty. I would just appreciate it that by the time you actually hand in your cards, you have them written in ink at least. Pencil is great when you're prototyping because you can erase and make very things, but ink is great for grading because things don't write off. Your game can be playable by 2, 3, or 4 players. It does not need to cater to any grouping other than what you decide that it needs to be. So if you say this is a two-player game, we will test it with two people. If you say this is 2, 2, 4, we'll test it with some number with however many people we manage to wrestle up to test. If you say it could be 2 or 4, but not 3, that's fine. But you need to make that clear, because there are some games that work really well, you know, with
the team. Yeah.
keep it for an under, or at least make it possible for us to grade it with a maximum of 4 people. Because if you give us a game that requires 5 people, we have to find 5 people and get them together in order to create your thing, and that looks like everybody.
Okay. Minimum.
I think there was one more requirement for how long the game could take.
I think it was 5-10 minutes.
It was short.
That's really short.
Super short.
It's really short.
Crunch
is overdesigned.
So when you're brainstorming for game ideas, how much of the game categories are just to come up with a brainstorm?
It's a cool idea. I'm using space.
I would say the game mechanic is the thing that's encouraging you to. That's the thing that's ideal about this assignment. I had this cool game mechanic in mind, and then that's the thing that you're throwing out. And if instead is, you know, I want to make a game about fish. I have no game mechanics in mind, but I think fish are awesome. Then okay, that's the thing you're throwing out. Maybe that's the first bad idea.
If we have like several game ideas, should we take several index cards and write one per?
Actually, no. I would rather see them all on one if you can fit them, and if you run out of space, fit them over. Again, the idea of the index cards is not just to record the ideas down. Because what I am going to do is I'm going to try to type them all out so that you can refer to them on forum posts just to remember what people discussed. But also to find you folks again. So it's like, yeah, there was that guy who had this idea about fish. Who was that again? You know, okay, you see the name then. So, I guess I'm the
leader. The leader.
Do you want me to write it down?
I think it's all right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Clerk.
I mean, you're not a facilitator?
Yeah, facilitator.
I like clerk better.
I'm a clerk.
Click it for Sarah.
I'm a clerk.
Secretary, it's almost like I'm not a meeting, but less.
Secretary is not as scary as leader.
Yeah.
Leader's way more.
You're the brainstorm czar.
But I am actually wondering whether we should divide this into two groups. Though.
But they would get to see, they would get the cross pollination.
We need some cross pollination.
That's why you guys hold fast for this. Okay, so.
I like some mutation.
I know there were some folks who actually started off with ideas already on the forum. So why don't those folks throw your ideas first because you already mentioned it.
Yeah, I wasn't quite that great in the forum.
Well, to start off, I mean, Jeremy and I have been sort of discussing an idea. You want to go ahead and.
Sure.
Two ideas, I guess.
Well, yeah, so I'll start with the titles one. So the basic concept is a game in which players are forced by some game mechanic to refer to each other by name constantly throughout the game and interact at a very rapid pace, and that players accumulate, their name is generated by the game and accumulate increasingly longer and more ridiculous games as they succeed. So you would start, you would be like the lord of something, and then you could accumulate extra titles, son of this, like bringer of flame, and you could just like have all these modifiers that just kind of accumulate and accumulate until your title becomes ridiculous, and then people start screwing up as they say your name, and it just be hilarious.
Okay, I'm just going to write down, like, memory jobs.
So, like, procedurally generated names, titles.
Name game.
Yes.
So you got a second one?
Yeah, can I go in the second one?
I had this idea of like sort of like a survival horror game kind of inspired by Falling. Like the premise is, you know, you have a group of like player characters that are like charging through a building, and you can have like a dealer that is putting down like hallways as you're going through. And occasionally threats come up and you have to like react really quickly and be like, it's a zombie, we have to like go upstairs and throw down a car to like do that. Shotgun. And you have to keep doing this until you get to the end of it and people can like die and get eaten and stuff.
That's good.
Yes.
Should we be writing his ideas down?
No, I'm writing mine down and then.
Cool.
Write on your own ideas.
So I made this up like a year ago when I took game design. Oh, not game design, it's games. Intro to Video Game Studies. It's like majority rules. So you can, it's kind of like a crunch where you can just hide cards and stuff. But if you get caught, then you get called out. And in order to be penalized for it, a majority rule has to be by everyone playing. And so you can actually bribe people to vote for you. It's more of like a, yeah, and then the way you get points is, it depends on how we define it.
I'm just going to go around this way.
Okay, so I had an idea of a card game based on like having success in life. So at the beginning of the game, all the players are randomly assigned different goals in order, which are like wealth and adventure and love and things like this. And then all the cards represent different activities that take up a different amount of time. So like you have all these activities you can keep in front of you, and then however much free time you have, you like draw that many cards looking for new opportunities. So it's like you like take opportunities and kind of leave opportunities and things.
Okay. I put it right on time and opportunities.
Sure. So I have a very mechanically oriented idea. Essentially, I'm stealing and trying to improve the draft mechanic from Magic: The Gathering Booster Draft. For those who don't know, the idea is that you're trying to collect a set, and so let's do it in terms of regular card games. You're trying to collect a straight flush as long as possible, as high valued as possible, but other people may be trying to collect that same suit, so you want to collect a different suit from other people. And you do this by looking at the cards in your hand, picking one of them, passing it to the rest of the person on your right, and then continuing to do this, and then going back in the other direction with a new hand, and then in the same direction again with a third hand. And the object is collect a big straight flush, also guess what the person to your right was collecting, and guess what the person to your left was collecting. So you're trying to signal to other people what suits are open and collect the suit which is open.
Let's see who's next.
So it's going to be, there are different types of cards, like action cards, like pick up cards or lose cards, but then, so, and then the other, you know, where, like, down cards where, so something had like, oh, from stockpile, from your friend's hand, from your discard pile. And people play different cards in different orders, so the rule always changes. You kind of mess other people up or help yourself out.
How would you describe that the rules are constantly changing?
Yeah, but you get like, so there's actually like an order to it, so you can choose. So if like it's going to be your turn, that says pick up three cards, you could put down like, oh, from a friend's hand, or instead of like lose three cards, something like that. Makes a lot of sense in my mind.
So rules changing with cards.
Yeah.
All right, so one idea I have is a game about character growth through narrative arcs. So at the start of the game, you're given a character, and the idea is you want to follow a certain narrative arc so that they grow in terms of the hands of the game you're playing. So if you start out with a cocky character, then you may want to actually lose a couple of the hands of the game such that your character experiences failure and his character growth increases. And so basically the winner of the game is determined by who manages to get their character to grow the most, like emotionally.
Very deep.
Yeah.
So I had this idea for like a poker-like game, except it's played with more than one deck, but the normal rules still apply. So if you get dealt five aces, you can't actually play that hand because that would be cheating. So you have an incentive to try and, you know, like slip cards into your sleeve and slip back and forth. So you're almost forced to cheat at the game to be able to actually play it.
So you can mix that with that one rule where it's like, yeah, if you get caught, then it's pretty much you have to figure out how to get out of the card.
So the idea that I had was kind of like Bananagrams, but with a card game. So you have cards with like lines or preset lines or shapes or something on the cards, and you have to try to connect them all in some way on like on your personal board so that it forms a closed shape. And once you're done, you know, you have to take another card from the pile and try to fix your shape so that it's still closed while trying to beat everyone else.
So collecting cards make shapes.
Some idea was just using normal poker cards as doing a trading game. You just like trading like four kinds of pattern as four kinds of stocks, and you can randomly draw the card to be your own stock. And every day you randomly draw a card to determine the day price, and you can trade with bank or other players. And I think you can use A to 10 as the stocks, and the J, Q, and K as the like special cards and install some action.
So this one's another procedurally generated idea. The game generates for you encounters, and it's supposed to be ridiculous and somewhat humorous. So you'd have like a base card, like you know a bear, and then there are various modifiers that you would draw to create that encounter. So it could be like a ninja zombie bear in space wrapped in bacon, and then those would all give different attributes to that encounter, and then you'd have to find a way to beat it. And your characters might also maybe be procedurally generated in similarly ridiculous ways, and you'd have to counter it with just, you know, basically. I like procedurally generated ideas. Card games have never played the same way twice, so.
I need something. There might be one there, but sorry.
With laser beams.
Of course.
So my idea was a musical RPG in which players' cards are musical notes, and you build chords. For example, to raise your character's strength, you might make an augmented chord, etc., and then you can chain chord progressions to attack players.
Diminished your life.
I just dominated your set of
dips. Okay.
Okay.
I got obsessed with drafting. I have another drafting game. Using the same drafting mechanic, except that you're drafting tiles. You play the tiles in front of you, and they make a machine. Drafting the same color of machine bit, or same type of machine bit, and then laying it in consecutive blocks, multiplicatively makes them better, and then your machines like attack other people. Or kind of do crazy shit. But the challenge being that you have to draft the piece that fits into your machine.
They can do crazy shit.
They can do crazy shit. It has to be pronounced like crazy.
YouTube rules.
Right there.
So my idea is kind of like a monarchy type thing. So it starts out as everyone's like heir to the throne, except the king, like everyone wants to become the king or queen, I guess. And then the point is either to get the king to really like you or to assassinate him. But if you want to assassinate him, you have to kill off all the other players first. So it's kind of like a betrayal and deceit game and stuff.
So,
Yeah, so another game is about reducing your opponent's mobility by placing cards that represent walls and placing other cards to rotate various walls, and your opponent is doing the same thing. So you could sort of envision the Tron Light Cycle game without any hint of reflex removed completely. So,
oh, that would be really cool.
So it's all just a strategic placement of walls to reduce your opponent's mobility.
I don't know, yeah, I think you can just make a little Tetris box, and like every time you select one, give to the other player, let them place on the Tetris, see who gets the most rolls removed.
So Tetris blocks. Got it.
Okay. This is kind of like Pokemon, except now you raise zombies or you catch zombies. So you have different types of zombies. So maybe take some from like the Left 4 Dead universe or something, or just Resident Evil or something. And then you could do like a like versus like other people or something.
I thought of having cards. I don't know whether they would be like words or a few words linked together. But you would go around in each round. The goal would be to build a story. So each person would play a card face down or something. So it would be a mechanic like Apples to Apples, except you're like progressively building a story, and if people like the your addition to the story,
so then you get points. So Apples to Apples story.
Yeah.
Story. All right. Owen?
Sure. Okay. Moving away from drafting. Okay, so I have another game idea called Are You a Cylon? Are You a Cylon? Are You a Cylon? It essentially, like, broad brushstrokes steals the skill resolution mechanic from Battlestar Galactica, the board game, and then strips it down to secret Cylons sabotaging people, and then people accusing them, and then everybody crying.
So I really like Harvest Moon, so I was thinking that maybe there could be like a Harvest Moon competitive card game, and like I guess you have a certain like amount of stamina each turn, and like cards are actions and stuff, and whoever has like the biggest harvest at the end of the game would win. I don't know how many turns it would be, but yeah.
So with stamina and farming?
Yeah.
All right. So sort of building on the monarchy and betrayal idea, this is a game about the heir to the throne. The king is dying in X turns. You and the other players are going to compete to prove who is the correct heir to the throne, and you can do so through combat directly with other players, assassinations, or political machinations, such as like accusing other players of being baseborn. So.
Assassinations. Just as a favor, when you throw out your idea, also mention your name, because I'm still learning everyone's names.
Okay, so I'm Ian. So I had this idea for a game called Admiral Snack Bar. So the idea is it's a competitive game where each player is building up their own sort of like snack shop, and they make a certain product, right? And the other players need that product in some way to like enhance their own things, but you can secretly poison parts of your product so that when they purchase them, they'll like get messed up in some way. So it's sort of like a trade-off, and you can like make alliances and stuff like that.
I was going to say it's sort of like a trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
There's the tagline right there.
Oh no, it's a snack. I was thinking of a game, I guess kind of like when like the Total Wars mixed with Nazi Germany. And so the point of the game is you want to snatch up territories. And you can do this by maybe attacking other players. Well, by territories is like cards. And you can do this by attacking other players or maybe making alliances, which you can easily betray. Or maybe you have like all the cards in a pile, and you have to, every turn you can take one and and try it, and you get points by getting certain like combinations of lands. I guess kind of more like a risk right there as well.
Need combos. Quicker than say risk like combos. Okay.
Dion.
Got it.
Brian. So I was thinking of like a trick-taking game, but the idea is there's four players and you're trying to get the second most tricks each round, and then there are cards that like allow you to swap out other cards at the end of a round and like other things that are tricky.
So second best trick.
Or second most tricks or something like that, but yeah.
Okay.
So I was thinking of sort of a, I guess, whatever puts this thing, but Scrabble meets chicken. So like, if you have a bunch of people playing and they play cards in the middle and you have to make words out, and then if you make longer words, you get more points. It's so far and so far, maybe your letter is more rare and gets more points. But the catch is that if the word is longer, you can't gain as much point. Like your point gain, like is diminished for. It's proportional to how long the word is you make.
I'm Beto, and I wanted to combine like Mario Karts and Chrononauts. So like the idea of like racing like through time. Like somebody has some. Like somebody's like the main guy that's trying to get to some place, everyone else is trying to stop them, and your like abilities or weapons only work in certain time periods and stuff like that. And so you have like the time travel and the items from Chrononauts, and then like the racing and attacking from Mario Kart.
Blue shell.
My name is Michelle. So I was envisioning something like Ricochet Robots, but where the two people basically. So the point is that everyone has. A set of like cards that have pathways or grids or walls that you can bounce off of, and you build a grid with your opponent. And there's one robot piece that you have to try to bounce off the walls to reach some specific goal. You can screw over your own player.
Build walls and bounce robots around.
I'm Patrick.
Okay.
So this is a game where the players are owners of businesses, and depending on the nature of the business, they might have mutual dependencies that would be beneficial for people to get more money. But then, as the market goes bad, they'll have to play cards to cut off the ties between companies, and so I call it objectivism game.
That was probably a better term than what I was about to write down. So the object is the game.
So there's a slight variation on the procedure-generated beast idea, but I'm now envisioning it possibly as a sort of falling real-time type deal. So every turn you're getting dealt cards, and you have cards that can modify the dealing patterns, so that can discard other players' cards or can get them to be skipped, so on and so forth. And you also have cards that can add various modifiers to your beast. And the goal of the game is that by the end, by the time the deck has been entirely dealt, you have the most badass creature that you've created, and that you'd have to figure out. And there might be an optimal way to rearrange things. So as you're getting cards, you have to try to figure out how to rearrange them, and at the same time, other players could be discarding stuff. And you have to deal with all these things at the same time. And then at the end of the game, you have to freeze, see who has the best one, and it could be really fast, you know, quick game and very hilarious.
Okay, so there's a procedure generation plus and minus.
So kind of like building a creature plus.
Okay. This game is Monkey or Shakespeare. Okay, so there are several different piles of cards. Each of them has words on them in Shakespearean English. The object of the game, so some of them are going to be played by players. Some of them are going to be like random number generators, essentially. So the players that are playing as covert Shakespeares select cards and then place them face down in a common pool. Then the top cards from all the other decks get placed in the pool, and then everything gets shuffled up. And then each of these different piles is going to be a different color, and so you'll spell out sentences in the color, progressively based on the card draws, and the object of the game for the other players who aren't hidden Shakespeares is trying to try and work out who's the Shakespeare that is trying to spell the pre-arranged sentence beforehand is, and who are just monkey piles. All right, wow, there. Right, that was fun. So it's detect the random number generator.
Beethoven, I want to take that like tanks versus robot game that we played before on the paper and make it into like a card game between players, and like the tanks can like level up and like you can change your specific strategy and that kind of stuff.
Would the robot still be like deterministic from something?
Up in the air.
Let's see, who this side hasn't gone yet, actually?
I had my calculator.
I think everyone's calculator.
Yeah.
So, one mechanic is any game that has a high amount of trading of cards, I mean, you can imagine anything from a Go Fish type thing to something more complicated. However, you don't mechanically enforce the traded cards, so there is basically lying in that narrative. Also, playing off of the robot tank idea, a game where basically your strategy is mitigated by the cards you play rather than the actual characteristics. So the cards play dictate how another deck or another mechanic is run rather than you directly interfacing with that.
It's versus robots with mechanic modification?
I'm Justin. So I have just an idea about what your Cylon game. I think it's really interesting. I just think maybe it will help if you can play two characters instead of one. Like if four people, you have eight characters that determine the identity at first, then you can play either of the characters.
So two-player Cylon.
Not two-player, two characters.
Two characters.
Okay.
Sure. Andrew, so you can have something that's sort of like an MIT game. So you're an MIT student and you're going through PISAs, you're doing like energy drinks to help you along through the night, social events, you can hang out at Harvard for a night, career fair.
That would be a debug.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, you force other people to hang out at Harvard for a night.
Anything else? Second one's got something. Okay.
Dion, this is, I guess it's, so MIT or Harvard. So this one is you have to decide, there's some, so let's say you're in a design class and you're trying to build a project. But, so there's some students are MIT, most of them are, but then there's one or two Harvard students. And so everyone's trying to build this project, but the Harvard students is messing it up. Or maybe it could be hard from MIT or Caltech. So that the other student that's not MIT is trying to screw up your project. And so you, by the end of the game, you want to figure out who that person is. Or like maybe you take turns and you make an addition to it. Something like that.
So this sort of came up only a few seconds ago in my brain. I'm setting an imagination for this might be something like a dark elf realm underground, and there's like various houses or various families of dark elves, and there's one that is not controlled by players. So I guess it's deterministic. It follows a set rules, and players every turn can play certain cards to influence the behavior of this non-player entity the next turn, and basically players are vying for influence over this non-player entity, which can then do benevolent or malevolent things towards players, and it might be only semi-obvious, depending on how cards are played, who exactly took certain actions to get the this like master house to give favor or remove favor from one player or another. And so it'd be a game where you're trying to beat other players at the same time, trying to figure out who's on your side, who's not on your side, and forging alliances and betraying each other.
So everyone's a guy at a party, and he's actually trying to get a girl at the end of the night.
I like four.
Call it a frat devil.
Is that a card?
You could screw other people over by like going up to them and bringing them embarrassing stories, or you could be like really nice and like try to meet the girl's friends, and the girl is all based off an AI kind of
get wingman.
Yeah. So, Ian, you have a game where the objective is all the players are sort of actually trying to build a physical house of cards out of the cards, but each card has, like, an in-game mechanical effect as well. And then there's, like, possibly the actual structure determines something as well. You'd have to do with, like, really thick cards.
There would be a mechanic. Actually, my idea was building a house, but not with a house of cards. But that's a better idea. Adding a mechanic would be like you can play an action card that's like a storm destroys the west wall of your opponent's house. In your case, the house of cards.
Jason, so the idea is you're on a student project or corporate project or some team doomed to fail. So your objective is to make you look as good as you can, whether by making the project better or by making sure other people are responsible for it being worse.
A terrible microcosm for the first design.
Don't fail too badly.
With all this talk of drafting, I started thinking about auction games. So, like an auction game where there's like some different points, and maybe if you collect certain types of points, it's good. And then also like some of the cards, you can add additional mechanics for yourself. So you can like bid for a card that later you can play and have everyone else bid, and then you have to go bid like after them or something like that. But everyone has the same amount of points at the beginning to play a bit.
So they expect better resources.
Yeah.
All points on it's going to be nice. Okay.
I'm Jason, by the way. Okay, going back to my guys at a party one, there's a way to have a mechanic where people can bring in real stories and real experiences that they have with friends and other
people.
You can obviously lie and make it work for someone else, but then you lose points for lying and being the dishonest guy.
Do you see a fucking threat
for these stories?
Yeah, for people who don't come to parties, yeah.
So again, it's like an RPG card game where, you know, you each have your set, which is like of things you can do and like equipment you have, and then there's like an encounter deck, and these keep getting flipped over, and then people have to react to this. But it's not quite cooperative because at the end there's like something that only one person can get. So, you know, maybe they have to like duke it out at the end if there's more than one person left.
So bringing up auction mechanics, there is a bidding mechanic that is interesting from a theoretical standpoint that never is implemented, where if you have a thing that's being bidded for, or you have everyone assign something that they get from some pile, and then if someone feels that they are unhappy with what they have, they trade it with someone else's and either put some amount of money on the other item or some decremental type object on their item. The bidding system comes out of pirates trying to split up booty and making everyone happy to within
bidding by reducing other people's bids. Is that a good description?
It's a bidding system in which everyone has something, and then you trade and add value until everyone feels it's equal.
So my idea was like, so you have two teams, maybe like four players, it's like an RPG, and so before you start, you have to draft like equipment and like spells you can do, and so then you have two like team battles against each other, and the way you determine like what happens is maybe like a warlike system where you have each one has a deck and which is shuffled, take the top card of the deck with the highest card wins, and so that determines damage and such is done.
Okay.
more drama than I like it.
So sort of taking off the RPG idea, but adding on like a randomly generated like board or castle that like one player has to defend and everyone else is trying to attack into, and he has to like set up his defenses around, and like, but he's also a controlling character, so he can move his guy around the board to like choose one of the guys to defend against. So essentially an RPG with randomly generated board as well.
Defend a castle?
Yeah.
Castle defense.
So I like it.
All right. So sort of building off of the idea of Pirate's Booty, I like the idea that you have a bunch of items within the game, which the value for them is chosen randomly, so that it's unknown what the value of the items are. So you just have the items, and various players can make various moves, like choose to appraise an item by paying some gold, and the idea is you want to try to get the item that's worth the most amount of money during any round to like get the most amount of gold.
I'm running out of space, so I'm going to be ending this soon. But
I'm out of it.
I'm Jason. So I'm interested in if you're like, I kind of like the game a little bit. So if you feel like competing factories with different products, and so you can either. So you want to bend different items, but for some people it might be necessary to have a certain raw bit, for other people not necessary. So it's going to have things to do with it. Things are going to have different values for different people. Then you can also get high-end stuff or low-end stuff, and the randomness is going to come in where if you have low-end stuff, a user behavior product, then you kind of lose money and stuff like that.
In a bidding sort of game, you could be bidding for space, let's say, for like space to use the Hubble telescope, but before you can do this, you have to pass a couple of hurdles, like taking JLab or...
Tower Defense, the card game. Interpret as you will.
Tower Defense.
That's a lot of math.
Slight variation, Dungeon Keeper, the card game. So I'd imagine that there would be several lanes down which enemies would come, and you would collaborate with other players to create buildings on the other end of those lanes that would then generate either traps along the way or your own units that would march down the lanes to encounter the enemies. And every turn, you run the game yourself, so you run your opponent, and it automatically advances and sends stuff at you that's, you know, drawn from decks, and you have to be able to time stuff right and all that, not to get your core destroyed, basically.
I'm just thinking of the idea of Tower Defense, the card game, combined that with Falling, the idea that turns are happening at the same time. So you have one player who's playing like the zombies invading, and he's just basically going like 1, 2, 3, 4, that's like a zombie advance 4 steps or something by placing cards down. And then the other player is trying to place defenses just as fast, but has to like discard cards as well. So it's really a game of how well you are able to handle cards. But
you feel that.
I had another idea in the vein of Falling, but it would be like Russian roulette. So everyone's like trying to have everyone else die and not them, and then you can play excuse cards, be like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, I'll be right back. Or like calling somebody else out and calling them the chicken or something. Maybe play with macho points.
Okay. I think that's Russian roulette with excuses.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Russian roulette.
So, players take turns being a prospective high schooler who wants to go to college, and the other players are therefore admissions officers. And as a student, you're trying to get into the college that gives you the most
financial
swag, anything. And then as admissions officers, you're trying to give them the least.
So admissions,
the usual.
Admissions officers is just like,
you got
you got into community college.
That's more of a game mechanic for his idea, so you could kind of have a bluffing where you say, I'm going to the bathroom, and then someone else will call you out for it, and you either have a bathroom card or you actually go to the bathroom. And so, I mean, that's a mechanic I think we a bunch of games.
Yeah, the full bladder card.
Yeah.
There's another simple mechanic, but you basically place cards down to try to create a path from some predetermined point to another, but in that way you can, you know, block other players by placing cards.
So creating paths and blocking them. Okay, I
think you're done. They were done.
Yeah.
Since.
Because I can't, I'm not tall enough to do it. All right. So,
Yeah, I guess I could write down the bottom, but it would be painful for folks to look at it. So, I mean, these are just, you know, memory jugs, what we got up here. You know, none of these ideas need to be taken wholesale for your initial idea for the team, but those were some of the things that folks remembered. I would actually like folks to grab one of the thumbtacks over there, once you've written down your ideas on the card, and pin them up on the wall. You don't have to be closely tight or anything. In fact, spread them out a little bit so that people can look at, so that a few people can look at a wall at a time. And the rest of the class basically is just time for you guys to talk. You know, you approach each other's talk, get to know each other's names better, and start discussing about, you know, projects that you should work together on.